And I'm going to be dealing tonight on the subject knowing, K-N-O-W-I-N-G, knowing. A tremendous word in the Bible. And I unbeknownst to me, that morning when I got in there, what he was bringing out tied in with what the Lord was speaking to my heart about. And then that Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning, as Brother Frank was preaching, then it just seemed to build. But I'm glad that you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt. As I was praying, I knew without any shadow of a doubt that the Holy Ghost had gave me what he's given me tonight simply because the way it came to me, I have never preached this before. And as I watched it build, then undoubtedly God is wanting to help someone here tonight. He knows who that person is. He brought them here. And there's nothing like blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Now, I'm just a country boy. Has any of y'all ever got to take the bowl after mama had got the banana pudding out of it into the pan and stick your finger down in there and get a foretaste of nanners to come? Huh? That's the way it is going to heaven. See, God saved you down here to give you a foretaste of what's to come. I mean, I'm afraid some Baptists, if they are going, are going to be so surprised that they're going to turn around and say, what's next? Now, I'm going to tell you something. What's left over, I don't think you'd enjoy going to. Amen. There's nothing but heaven or hell. And so I'm dealing with this word knowing. And I'm going to use two passages of scripture that I'll introduce in just a minute. And I hope nobody really thinks that I'm unkind with the way I'm going to be presenting this tonight or that I'm a heartless person. If you know me, you know that Brother Marty's not that. I'm definitely not a legalist. Lord, God forbid. I'm glad that I went through that. As the old boy said, I praise God tonight that it came to pass. And the preacher said, what do you mean? He said, I'm glad it came to pass. He said, well, what are you trying to say? He said, it didn't come to stay. Amen. There's a lot of things in your life that came to pass. And you better thank God it didn't stay. He put you in it for a reason. So I want you to notice these two passages of scripture. One's in the Old Testament, one's in the New Testament. I'm even trying to preach tonight by outlining and laying it out the way my pastor does it. He's got 40 pages. I've got 3. So maybe I can get done. If my time runs out, it will not bother me, get mad, nothing. Just raise your hand, time's up, preacher, and I'll close it. And the next time I get a chance to preach, I'll preach. But I want to introduce Psalm 119, 130. And then after that, we're going to look at 1 John 5, 20. I want you to see how this word knowing intermingles in usage in our Bible in so many different ways. Now, it's an impossibility to cover this tonight. But I hope that you'll get a appetite for looking into it and studying it out. Psalm 119, 130. Our brother's got that on the board. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding, knowing. Understanding unto the simple. That means a person with the least natural intelligence. When God gives them his word, they can understand what he wants them to understand. That's exactly what the psalmist is saying. And then notice 1 John 5:20. And we know, personal pronoun. It's inclusive of the writer and the subjects he's writing to. It's never talking to that other crowd. It's talking to we, to our, and to us. And so he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us. Notice the emphasis. Not everyone, just us. One time I was preaching here some time back. I said, are you one of the usins? That's a good old country word. If you're not one of the usins, you ain't one of the uinses either. Amen. And so he said, I have given you an understanding. Why? That we may know him that is true. I'm going to tell you something. Here in Childersburg, Alabama, there's a lot of people that know how to say the word Jesus, but they do not know him that is true. They use the name God. Some of them use it the wrong way. But they do not know the God that is true. And so by the time John pins this down in the 5th chapter, he's saying these words. God, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's two people you're in. It takes the third one to get you in the two. Are you listening to me? Now, if you're not in the two, you're not in the one. Hello? I've heard them pray and never pray in Jesus' name. Something's missing. Hello? All right? That we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It is an impossibility to truly know him by his God-given understanding to you and not know that you have eternal life. Now I'm going to use my sister Sharon. She does not mind. Matter of fact, she said, Brother Marty, anytime you want to use me for an illustration, you go right ahead. There was a time in her life she didn't know or understand eternal life. She thought she could lose. She was taught that principle. I was raised up in the same religion she was raised up in. I was taught that principle. Saved today and lost tomorrow. I'm serious. And when they'd come pick me up and take me to jail, I knew I'd lost it. And then when I got in jail after I was there about 30 days, I knew I didn't have it in the first place. So when I'd get out, I'd done rededicated what I didn't have in the first place and act like I got it till I got in trouble the next time. But until I got in him who is true and also got in him who is his Son and introduced to the two of them by the Holy Ghost, I never knew nothing about eternal life. I never knew nothing about that life at all. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You're dead. You know, Pastor, I would never try to pick out anyone. That's not my business. It could be that God's brought somebody in here tonight that doesn't even know the truth, doesn't know him. Or maybe they're religious. We're all religious in some sort of connotation. Every one of us. Everybody, you're born in this world. Your parents raised you up in something. You was either a religious hobo or a religious bootlegger, one of the two. I don't know which. But God teaches us a great truth, and I want to get to it. Since all of us are characters, and boy, you talk about I do mean character. I wish Tip was here tonight. He's a character, isn't he? I'm going to use a character from the Old Testament to illustrate my point. I don't have enough time to get into other points, so I'm going to try to get through this one point tonight. Would you turn in your Bibles to the end of chapter 3, 1 Samuel 21, verse 21. I'm going to start at the back and go backwards. 1 Samuel 3:21, and I want you to learn something about a character in your Bible that God had to let him know. I mean, he is in a good family, had a good mom and daddy, amen. I mean, there ain't no doubt. He had a good mother, good daddy. His mama, brother, loved the Lord. And he went so far as to tell God, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him to you as long as you want him, and he's yours. I just thank God for the privilege of getting to birth him into the world. What if that's the attitude of every mother and daddy? They're yours, Lord. I'm going to do the best I can raising them, but Lord, I want you to know they're yours. And you know what? God took him. God had plans for little Samuel. And so when we get to verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. Reveal, made known, manifested, give an understanding of who he was. Have you ever stopped to think and ask yourself this question? I wonder how many times in my past life, a day's gone by that God came close to me and I didn't even know it. Wonder how many times a person has come through Grace Baptist Church. I've been here going on 4 years, and every Sunday morning, I don't know half of the people is here. And I ask myself, where'd that other crowd go that I tried to learn when I first got here? By the time I learned some of her name, it's gone. It's like a bus pulls up every Sunday morning and lets off a new bunch from some town. Y'all not with me, are you? And the Lord appeared to Samuel in Shiloh. He revealed himself by the word of the Lord. Now, to understand the meaning, we've got to look back to verse 7. 1 Samuel 3 and 7. Now, I'm going to hurry. Now, Samuel did not yet. Y-E-T. My emphasis is going to be on this word yet for just a little while. I don't know if we'll... You ever had your children when you... We used to get them in the car and be backing out the driveway, and Julie would say, are we there yet? I said, no, baby, but we're closer than before we left. Is your children ever do this? They won't know. Are we there yet? Can I have it yet? Are we going yet? Is it come yet? Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. You see the little word yet used twice in that verse. I hope you're going to stay with me, because we should never overlook words in the Word of God. 683 times the little word yet is found in our Bible. Now, my interest is in that connection in the first part of the verse, not yet. Not yet. And it's used 40 times in the Old Testament. And it has to do with time or place, like as before or not yet took place. Yeah, but there's no doubt that's evident in the verse I read. Just think, Samuel, just about all his life, from the day he was weaned from his mother, and that's not just talking about breastfeeding. You'd have to understand Jewish custom. That child wasn't weaned from its mother completely until between 9 and 10 years old. Some children, maybe to 11, but they did not go up to the temple until they were 12 years old. Do a little study in Luke chapter 2 about a well-known person named Jesus. And he went up to the temple when he was 12 years old. Now, in the religion I was raised in, they taught you couldn't get saved till you was 12. And really, what they meant by saved was you went through a confirmation class and you had to learn the ABCs of religion. And then they confirmed you saved, sprinkle a little water on your head. That's why I'm bald. I don't know if that didn't go over well, but it's the truth. Here's a little fella named Samuel. Let's put him at between 10 and 12 years of age, okay? And he's been busy in the temple, waiting on the Lord. Even though the Lord had not as yet revealed himself to Samuel. Now look back with me at the story. It's a short story, and I'm hurrying as best I can. Go back to verse 1, Samuel 3 and 1. Don't forget your place at verse 21. When you get home tonight, I hope you'll have enough interest to take time and read through this. Your child depends on mother and daddy understanding this third, one of the richest chapters you'll find in the Old Testament for a mom and a daddy raising up a child in the way they should go. Crystal, can I say something? Thank you. She takes such a great interest in that little grand boy, doing her best to get him under the word of God at that young age. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Are you listening to me? Now stay with me. Holy Ghost gave me this, and I hope it'll help you. Verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered. Now legalists would never go along with what I'm fixing to say. But I'd rather let God be true and a legalist a liar. Amen. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. I'm going to stop there. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. In other words, what it's saying is they didn't have the open visions quite as much then as they did later on with the prophets. Right, Brother Frank? And so if you had a word from the Lord, it was precious. Hey, Darrell, one time a preacher friend of mine was telling me about getting to run into the brother that was up, lived out from Wilmington, John Phillips. And old brother Ollie said, Brother Marty said, John Phillips, you know, said all them great books. I got them all in the library. Said, oh, man, I just couldn't wait. I knew he was going to be there. And I purposely sat down across in front of him. I wanted to say a word to John Phillips, the great author from England. He lived down the road from where we lived in Wilmington, North Carolina, when I pastored up there. And I met John two or three times at a number of the churches. Precious man of God. And so he said, I sat down there and he said, Brother John, have you had a good word from the Lord lately? He said, my brother, I don't read books, I write them. Ollie said, well, that ended the conversation right there. He thought, you know, our fellowship with, you know, a lot of times some of them fellas, they really embarrass you because you want to learn something, you want a fellowship with them, and they just kind of pat you on the head and go play in the sand, so to speak. Y'all not with me, are you? I've had that done by deacons and son. You know, well, I ain't going to get off in that. 1 Samuel 3:2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. This is a minister of the Lord. This is a priest of the Lord. This is a servant of the Lord in his place. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I was going to say it if he hadn't made it here, and I'm going to say it since he did make it here, because I wouldn't embarrass my pastor for nothing in the world. But if you don't appreciate your pastor, you about as dumb as a box full of rocks. I mean, if you don't love and appreciate and pray for your pastor, there's something missing in your life. You need a revelation. You need some understanding. You need some knowledge about some things. This man's been in his place. I've had him to text me at night, and I'm not saying this bragging on him, I'm just telling the cause of the truth. Had him text me at night, and it'd be 9:30. He'd say, "Brother Marty, pray for me. I got one more visit to make. I'm on my way home." Had been home. This was on Sunday night. Been counseling all afternoon with some Baptists that don't know diddly squat. Now, y'all not with me. I can tell right away. I knew. I wish you'd get one of them loving messages. I don't have them kind. Oh, I did have one time. I preached on love up in Missouri. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Now, y'all, okay, let me hurry. 1 Samuel 3:4. Now, his eyes had begun to wax dim and he couldn't see. You can look at this from the natural standpoint of age. You can also look at it from the spiritual standpoint, because he had two sons that wasn't worth shooting, and they was driving him up the wall, driving him crazy. He stayed under stress. He stayed under strain. And trying to get a little rest for his body that night, he laid down and his eyes had waxed dim that he could not see. You know, I'm starting to have that problem in degrees. Somebody said, "You see that over there? You see that over there?" I'm just glad I can see where I'm at. I don't look off in the distance anymore. I'm not looking for nothing out yonder. I just don't want to trip and fall. Every time I go to VA, they say, "Have you failed lately?" And I said, "No." "Am I supposed to?" "Well, you're getting close to that age. Have you thought about committing suicide?" I said, "No." "Am I supposed to?" "Well," I said, "I've thought about killing a couple of people, but that don't work." You try to go in there and encourage them poor people. They go through the same routine every time you go in there, you know. 1 Samuel 3:4. "That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.'" He heard a voice, but he didn't know whose voice it was. And he literally thought it was the voice of Eli. And so he runs to him, verse 5, unto Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, I called you not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. If his eyes hadn't started waxing dim, he may have understood at the very start. But you see, under the stress and strain and all that he'd been going through in his ministry, he didn't perceive. He didn't understand. He didn't know that God was trying to talk to Samuel. Boy, it's a blessed day, Mom and Daddy, when you realize God's dealing with your child and not you. Are you listening to me? Many a mother and daddy's tried to get a profession out of the little child before God had them ready, just to maybe look good in church or something, get a profession out of them, and it ruined the child. My granddaughter, Jayanna, is on a aircraft carrier somewhere over there in the Gulf of Iran, and the only word we heard was just a couple of words that she sent to her mother saying, "We may be getting ready to kill some bad boys. Cannot tell you exactly where I'm at." And she made a profession at the little swimming pool. Nothing wrong with the swimming pool. The babysitter got a profession out of her at 11 years old, and she's 20 years old and doesn't know Christ. Breaks my heart. Well, I wish I could do something about it. Amen. I'm serious. I wish I could do something about it. And I've told you about my next to oldest grandson, denies God, denies heaven, denies hell, graduated from secular college, West Georgia, and now he doesn't believe nothing. I baptized him when he was 12 years old. Love church. See, God's got to reveal. He's got to make himself known. Say, I know you women in here, but I don't know any of you like I know Miss May. Say, I can tell you I knew May, I know May, but I don't know y'all. It's a different no. It's a different. It's an intimate relationship with somebody God gives you. All right? Oh, Mo, I tell you, if we get hold of this. Verse 6, the Lord called her yet again. Yet again? Aren't you glad he's the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances? Hallelujah. I know some Baptist preacher, if you slip and fall one time, hell's where you going. You didn't have nothing in the first place. When May and I got the first TV, they put us in hell. So I thought, well, shoot, if I'm going to hell, I'm going to go buy two. We had one in every room. Yeah, if you're going to go to hell, have a time. When they come to see us, I invite them. I say, you want to watch TV? I shouldn't have done that. That's mean. This person wouldn't even read a comic page, much less look at the television. Look, listen. And said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. 1 Samuel 3:7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You see that? Samuel did not yet know the Lord. My goodness. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Anytime you've seen the word yet, so far in my messages, it ought to encourage your heart. But he's going to. God's got some yets out in the future for Marty Few. I have not yet seen all that God's going to do. Did you know I'm indestructible until God's done with me? Now, that don't mean old dummy's going to run out in front of a train. What's going to happen if you run in front of a train, Brother Marty? It's going to carry you down the tracks. Now, I'm talking about using your common sense. If you're in his will and you're walking in the light, he's in the light, having fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing you from all sin, you're indestructible till he's done. Amen. Oh, I love this part. 1 Samuel 3:8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Same thing the third time. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. It took him a while, but he finally called on. In verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee again, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now listen to me. He had been a servant for some time prior to this. He had even worshiped God prior to this. Yet he did not know the Lord. Are y'all listening? His old boy in Virginia got saved, and he got saved in Greer, South Carolina. Before he got saved, he shouted all over the place, swung on chandeliers and everything. Then he got saved and went up to Virginia and joined that church up there, and the pastor said, well, there's one thing I'll say for you. You're shouting a little better than you shouted when you was lost. But see, that's what a man's got to settle between him and God. There can't nobody settle that for you. Ain't nobody can tell you you're saved. I can tell y'all a bunch of stories. I could write a book on them, but one time I knocked on the door to witness this old boy. I was burdened about him. And I went in and I said, sir, I've been wanting to talk to you. He said, come on in, just as friendly, humble, Mike, as he could be. And he said, what you got on your mind? I said, I want to talk to you about the Lord. Sure. I said, would you mind telling me when you was born again? And his wife interrupted and said, I can tell you when he was born again. I was there when he was baptized. I thought to myself, and I wasn't always sweet as I am now. I said, ma'am, I didn't ask you. I asked him. And I'd like to hear it from him. And what that means is you sit there and be quiet. You say, I wouldn't say that, Brother Mark. God knows you wouldn't, but he let me. And what'd she do? She said, I'm going to go make y'all some coffee. She went in there. And here's what the old man said, folks, and God is my witness. And it's been years ago, and I told Frank this story. He said, preacher, you know the little such and such church right down the road there from where I live? I said, yes, sir. He said, I was about 12 years old, and my daddy, we was coming in from the fields, and said, my daddy said, boy, when are you going to join the church? He said, well, Pop said, they need to oil the hinges because they ain't opened the doors in a long time. And he went to the pastor and told the pastor to open the doors of the church because his little boy needed to join that church. And he said, I went down that Sunday when they opened the doors and I joined the church and they baptized me. And that's it. I said, well, tell me when you got saved. Preacher, I just told you. Now listen to me. He did not yet know the Lord. And he died in that predicament, not yet knowing the Lord. He was in that meeting that Brother Frank preached there at Grace Baptist Church, and Frank didn't know it then. The man sat there through all that, sat there through the power of God, and I don't remember the people that got saved. You remember, it went 2.5 weeks. C.L. Roach was over there. Howard was over there. Numbers of folk from here went over to get in on that meeting. They said, we ain't seen nothing like this in a long time, Brother Martin. And he died, yet not knowing the Lord. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I've heard people say, oh, God don't get angry. He gets angry at sin every day, so I'm sure he does. Now, I'm going to kind of cut it short because I think my time's done at 7:15, correct? I want you to look at 1 Samuel 3:10. And the Lord came and stood. Now, listen to me. One time in your life, one time, the Lord will come and stand still at your heart's door. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You got to stand still because he stood still. And the Lord came and stood at the heart of a little Samuel, 10 or 11 years old. And I was so amazed, Brother Frank, today as the Holy Ghost started sharing this to my heart. And I got to thinking about that. Boy, I'm so thankful that my Julie is saved and Caroline got saved when she was about 12, I think. And Jacob, he's in the Marines, Camp Lejeune, and boy, I'm glad he's saved. And Ryan and Meredith saved, and that little old great-grandson, 4 years old, and she's expecting another one in April. And they're in church and love the Lord. I'm glad he came one day and stood still. Teresa, one of the worst sins Baptists have today is they are in too big of a hurry to wait upon the Lord. You can't wait on the Lord if you're not standing still. If you don't find that place somewhere in your life to where you can just get along with God and just wait on the Lord. Because the Bible said he came to him and stood. Now I want to tell you, when he's standing that close to you, it's impossible for you not to hear, not to know, not to understand, because he is revealing himself to you. And he called, as at other times, Samuel! Samuel! That's the first time he did it, twice. Other times it was a singular call. This time, you better not miss me. Are you listening? Samuel, Samuel! Not once, not twice, not three, but 4 times was this needed until God revealed himself to young Samuel. And Samuel answered and said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And I hear you well. Not only did he hear him, now he knows. Verses 11 through 14, God shows him the open vision. And then in verse Samuel, chapter 3, verse 15, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision because Samuel had got his first vision from God. And he knew that Eli was fixing to lose his two sons. God is going to kill both of them. Did you know God's killed some people around Childersburg? In your lifetime, you may not know it and understand everything about it, but there have been some people you've rubbed shoulders with. God's killed them. He's got sick and tired of this and that about them, and he's killed them. He killed two brothers, sons of Eli. And then what happened to poor old Eli? I'm going to tell you something, folks. We don't need any dimness. I wish to God we had spotlights shining all over there. But the more light, the better. I sleep with a night light on. I don't want no darkness. Now, when you get to 1 Samuel 3:19, I'm done. I got a minute. I hope I can get through here. And Samuel grew. When you get to Samuel 3:1, he's about 12 years old. When you get to Samuel 3:19, he's now 24 years old, a prophet of the Lord. Boy, don't miss this, please. Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. I've been from Dan to Beersheba. Frank, did you get to go from Dan to Beersheba? One end of Israel to the other? That's a long way, but listen to the testimony of a prophet of God. From Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Everybody in Sylacauga, Chesley, Childersburg, Fayetteville, hooting and holler over across the track, everybody knows that's a man of God. They know he's a man of God. They may not want to come here and sit under his ministry, but they know he's a man of God. Aren't you amazed at some that God's bringing in here on Sundays and that are coming into this church? Because God's establishing the ministry of Samuel just like he's establishing the ministry of Brother Frank. And you don't get where Brother Frank's got in the ministry without going through hell. If you think it's an easy road, I don't have to talk about myself. I'm just going to talk about your pastor. Go with him for a week. Me and him will pay you expenses if you want to do it. Or he and I. If I ain't got it, he will. Verse 21, I'm done. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord, and I insert a word, had revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. How shall they hear without a prophet, a priest, or a preacher? I close with asking you a simple, very simple question. But I think it's hard to understand without revelation, manifestation. Do you know that you know that you know? Because if you don't know that you know that you know, you don't know. And I'd hate to be in a person's shoes that did not know that whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. Heavenly Father, I realize that when the word of God goes out, Lord, it goes in different ways to people's hearts. There's a part that you had for this one, a part for that one, a part for this one, a part for that one, a part for each of us, Lord. But Father, if there's a person here tonight that's lost and undone without Christ, you know my heart tonight, Lord. We've preached the truth of the word of God. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that day is nearer, Lord, than we've ever thought. I thought about Sunday and the powerful message that was preached Sunday morning. And the altars should have been filled up. But in our Baptist churches all over this country, we've got churches that don't seem to care anymore. The light has about gone out. Have your will and have your way is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.